turn it on in a minute, son. I know you're worried back there. I don't want to hear any rattling.
Yeah.
One thing I can tell the sound man is, being as he left the mic up here, he better make sure there's good batteries in it.
That's right.
Well, how many think it's well with your soul tonight? Fellas, I enjoyed you singing.
Amen.
Yes. Appreciate the good testimonies, the sweet spirit that you sang with. It's a treat tonight to be in camp meeting, isn't it? It's been, I don't know that when the brother began to testify about his situation and how God did a miracle. Everybody look up here. This bunch still believes in miracles. I know I've been in some churches, they didn't believe in miracles. I still believe God does miracles. Because I believe in the miracle working God. And I appreciate his testimony. And if you were here this morning, some of you didn't come, I'll go ahead and give a Tuesday morning breakfast plug. If you could have been here and you wasn't here, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you the food was better than anything you could got at the Huddle House or McDonald's or Hardee's. I don't care how many biscuits they give you. They didn't have as many biscuits as we had. That ain't even the best part. I brag on all the cooks, men, women, whoever done the cooking. It was phenomenal, wonderful food. Then Brother Buddy C got up and preached the glory down. Preached on being thankful. I don't think we're thankful enough, do you? Then after he got done and all the glory was just kind of hovering in the house, some folks got stirred up testifying about what God had done for them. So now I want to tell you something, it got foggy-eyed in that house. Brother Jack Lasseter would say you needed a C&I dog to get around. He was on this morning, son. And you say, why did you do that? Because some of you missed it. I'm not getting on you. I'm not scolding you. You should have been here. If you wasn't here, if you're working, I understand. Not mad at you. I'm the evangelist. I can get by with this. I'll have to come back Sunday morning and look you in the eye. I'll just tell you how it is. But I'm telling you, wonderful, wonderful day. God blessed us Sunday night, Monday night, then this morning and tonight. Been no exception. If you have your Bible, I want to go to the Old Testament tonight. Go to the book of Genesis, chapter 35. Genesis, chapter 35. I'm going to begin reading tonight in verse 16. I will say this, I've never been concerned about time, and I do talk about it a lot. I always tell folks when I preach that I'm in a hurry. Everybody look up here, I shouldn't let the cat out of the bag. The only reason I tell you I'm in a hurry is to make you feel better about the deal. It's amazing to me you play mind games with folk, you tell them you're in a hurry, they just breathe a sigh of relief. Brother Roger, it really doesn't mean anything at all. But I am going to obey the Lord. I believe I've heard from heaven. I got direction from headquarters. He knows what you need. Some of you need everything that I'm fixing to tell you out of this book. Some of you need half of it. Some of you need one sentence of it. But I am convinced God wants to speak to all of us tonight. I get a little concerned. I promise I'm getting into the Bible. I get a little concerned, Brother Mitch, when I preach to people and they say things like this. Boy, that really was good for him. She really needed that one tonight. The bunch that should have been there didn't come. Everybody look up here so I can look you in the eye. I don't want to hear that after church tonight. This is for all of us. Genesis chapter 35. Begin reading in verse 16. And I'm going to just tell you probably there are some sermons, Brother Mitch, that God gives you that just spark you along and help you when things get a little tough. And that's one of these sermons tonight. Genesis chapter 35, begin reading in verse 16. When you get to Genesis 35 and you get to verse 16, would you shout a big amen?
Amen.
Stand all over the building. You're going to appreciate the stand. And they journeyed from Bethel. There was but a little way to come to Ephrath. Rachel travailed. She had hard labor. It came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." It came to pass as her soul was in departing. First she died. That she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is in Bethlehem. I want you to know verse 20 and 21, I never seen it quite this way, but it says in verse 20, "And Jacob set a pillar." Somebody say pillar. "Upon her grave," that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Verse 21, "And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond." Somebody say, beyond. The Tower of Edom. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of Almighty God. Thank you for every man. Thank you for every lady. Thank you for every boy. Every girl that is assembled into the house of God. Thank you for these men that sang from their heart. Pray you'd continue to bless them. God, we are believing for a miracle for this brother. God, we're trusting God that you're going to continue to bless this group. I do pray for the camp meeting. I do pray for every person that is in the sanctuary tonight. If there's anybody that is lost, let this be the night that they get born again. If there's anybody that is backslidden, let them rededicate. If there's any sick, God heal them. If there's any dealing with bitterness, dealing with hatred, dealing with unforgiveness, I pray you would take this word of God. You would let it go beyond the mind and beyond the head and go deep down inside the heart and the home of individuals that is in this place. Do something on a Tuesday night that only you can do. God, when the altars fill up, when people get help, God, we'll not look to a preacher. We'll not look to a singing group. We'll lift our eyes to the hill which cometh our help. And we'll give you the credit and we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor. In Jesus' name, everybody said, you may be seated in the house of God. I want everybody, if you take down notes, and you like to write down what the man of God preaches so that he can't come back next year and preach this same sermon, then I want you to jot down, whether you put it in your Bible or on a notepad, I want to preach tonight on transforming your heartache into hope. I got to get on this side. That bunch over there wasn't listening. Transforming your heartache into hope. When you come to this familiar scripture, the Bible says two times, family of God, that Rachel is in hard labor. Jacob and Rachel are on their way, they're journeying. And as they journey, no doubt she begins to have labor pains and they pull off. And as she is giving birth to a baby boy, the little boy comes to planet Earth and they lay that boy in her hands. And she says his name shall be called Benoni. I need everybody to look up here. That word Benoni means son of my sorrow. Son of my sorrow. I said to the Lord, I said, God, how do you want me to tell your people and preach to your people? And here's what God told me to start this message with. There is something beyond heartache. There is something beyond hurt. There is something beyond pain and disappointment. And as she gives birth, she calls his name Benoni. Ladies and gentlemen, can I just talk to somebody and tell you that maybe you're just like Rachel. You're in a crossroads. Things is not gone according to plan. And it doesn't look like you wanted it to look. And life hadn't went like you wanted it to go. And as she calls his name, Benoni. Pastor Mitch, it became crystal clear to this evangelist that God can take that trial and make it a blessing. Would you agree with the preacher that God can give you grace to endure the heartache in your life? God knows, I'm about to get blessed and it's early. God knows, Brother Doug, exactly what He is doing. He didn't catch God off guard. Now hold up, I'm about to preach. She calls his name Benoni. Oh, I see Jacob say, no, sweetheart, his name's not going to be called Benoni, son of my sorrow. I'm going to name him Benjamin. Now everybody look up here, Stacy. The word Benjamin means son of my strength. As well beloved as my right hand. It is a symbol, it is a picture, a representation of power and might and strength. I said to God, Rachel wanted to have children. Matter of fact, do you remember what Rachel said? She said she had a passion to have children. She said, I'll have no ease, I'll have no peace unless I bear children. And now she gives birth, and because she's departing and life isn't going like she wants it, she looks at that boy and she says his name will be called Benoni. Jacob jumps in, says, no, not Benoni, Benjamin. Here's what God gave me. What are you going to allow your hurt and your difficulty? What are you going to call it? Woo! What are you gonna call it, sir? What are you gonna call it, ma'am? God brought me by to tell you, Jason, do not allow the place of your difficulty, the place of your pain, your heartache, do not allow what you're going through to define your life. Benjamin steps up and Jacob steps up and says, his name shall be called Benjamin, son of my right hand. Now somebody, I gonna go ahead and tell you, you looking at me, I've done promise you, it's fixing to get a little preachy. Brother Chris, you gotta see this.
Now here's where I'm going. Somebody in here needs to hear that there is glory beyond your grief. You need to know there is hope beyond your heartache. You need to know that God is with you in the midst of pain, in the midst of hurt, in the midst of disappointment. God is still God. And would you agree with me? If God be for you, who can be against you? Would you agree with me? God is on your side. Now, hear the man of God on a Tuesday night. If you're going to have God transform your heartache into hope, then you got to write down these three Bible principles that I find in Jacob's life. Number one, you must have closure for the disappointments that are behind you. My God, I don't know how y'all can sit up here and act like y'all ain't never been to church before. You got to have closure for the disappointments that are behind your life. Now, I can already hear, I can already see, Brother Doug, we got some dignified folks in here, and they act like they ain't got anything in their past, and they act like they ain't got anything in the underworld, what they used to be, or what they used to do, or what they, you ain't hear me, or where they used to go. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, you ain't the only one, baby, with skeletons in your closet. We've all fallen short of the glory. Glory of God. We've all dropped the ball. We've all messed up. We've all fallen and stumbled. But would you agree with me? If you're going to transform your heartache into hope, you gotta have closure for the disappointments that are behind you. Woo! Brother Derek, why did you shout in camp meeting? Because you should have shouted and you didn't shout, so I shouted for you. Brother Wayne, every once in a while, say amen back there. Just because you fed me ribs don't mean you can't say amen. You don't know Wayne, he's only 6'8". I have to get on the chair to look him in the face. But ladies and gentlemen, I must have closure for the disappointments that are behind me. It reminds me, Pastor Mitch, of a young man of God. He had trouble. He had just started in the ministry. You find yourself in this dude. He just started in the ministry, and every decision he made, he second-guessed everything he did. I can already act like y'all's acting like that's the preacher over there, but I don't tell you, you probably battle some similar stuff. Amen. And here he is. He second guesses every decision he ever makes, and he doubts what he's doing, and he's struggling with it. Well, the old man of God said, son, he said, I want you to walk with me. He said, I want to impart some wisdom to you. My God, I want to tell you, if we ever needed some old men of God to take young men of God by the hand and impart to them and instruct them and teach them. Oh yeah, I'm telling you, I know some of the generation don't listen and some of our younger people don't want to hear it. But I don't tell you, I want an old man of God that'll pour into me. Tell me some things that I can hold on to when it's hailing and it's storming and it's lightning at my house. Well, I don't have to preach that. It would be good preaching. But the old man of God said, son, I want to teach you something. They're walking down the dirty trail. They come to a gate. The old man of God, Stevie, he opens the gate. He said, son, go on through the gate. The young man, without thought, he walks through the gate. The old man of God walks behind him. He said, son, you're in a hurry. Slow down. Watch this. The old man of God turned around and shut the gate. And he said, "Now son, when I walk through a gate, I securely close the gate behind me." I make sure I securely close the gate. Can I tell you, when Jacob watched his sweetheart breathe her last breath and give birth to that baby boy, he probably thought, "Mama, it's unfair. It ain't right. I don't like what I'm dealing with." But Jacob, just like the old man of God, had to learn, you got to securely close the gate behind you. Brother Timmy, God brought me by to look you in the eye and tell you, securely close the gate behind you and walk on and journey on and go on. I ain't just preaching to Timmy. God brought me by to tell you, hey Doug, securely close the gate and walk on for God. I'm trying to stay calm. You say, "Man of God, where are you going?" I'm moving right along. Ladies and gentlemen, Jacob, his sweetheart dies. Now, I'll give you a line, Scott. Maybe you can teach on this. A, B, C. Brother Derek, we know what that is. Ask, believe, and confess. No, that's a good one. But we're going to change it up and warp you. A, B, C tonight we're going to use is adversity builds character. Hey, let me say that again, Roger. Adversity builds character. Now, let me explain the best an evangelist from Arkansas can explain. The year was 1982. Cosmonauts went into outer space. The cosmonauts spent 200 days in outer space. Brother Chris, when they landed back on planet Earth, they had spent 200 days without gravity, zero gravity. When they come back to planet Earth with zero gravity, their equilibrium was messed up and they could not stand. And they fell to the ground. Here's what they learned. Lack of resistance makes one weak. Who am I preaching to now? And so, Brother Wayne, they developed, Brother Junior, they developed what they called the penguin suit. Every move of the arm was met with resistance. Every time they moved their foot, it was met with resistance. They went back to outer space, this time with the penguin suit. They said, "We're going to do it right this time. We're not spending 200 days. We're going to spend 300 days. They came back to planet Earth after they had them penguin suits on. They hit the ground. They could move. They could walk. They didn't fall down. Their equilibrium was not off. Here's why. Because they had resistance. And y'all not hearing me. And every step was met with resistance. Every time they moved, it was met with resistance. I'm preaching to people tonight. You've been through hell and high water. Everything's gone wrong. Every time you move, you're hit with resistance. And you're hit with adversity. But God brought a bold-headed preacher by to tell you, adversity builds character. You're going to be able to take a licking and keep on ticking. God is going to give you some strength to keep on going on. Well, Brother Derek, are you anywhere close to where you're going? Stacy, not yet. I believe tonight that God, Pastor Mitch, God is looking for some people that will refuse to retreat, that will refuse to back up, and will say to the world, I'm going to plant my feet. I'm going to square my shoulders no matter what comes, no matter what goes. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to give God my best. Would anybody agree? We need some people like that. Here's where I'm at. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to jot it down. The Bible says in verse 20, still on point one, Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar, Rachel's grave unto this day. Can I go ahead and tell you what we do? The Bible said he sets up a pillar. Brother Jason, instinctively, mankind harness themselves to heartache. Unmistakably, people, mankind, human beings, anchor themselves to anguish. It defines you because you've allowed what you've gone through to define you. You've allowed the hurt and the heartache. I'm preaching better than your amen. And you've harnessed to a heartache and you've anchored to an anguish. Ladies and gentlemen, hear what I'm about to say. God wants to deliver you tonight. God wants to set you free tonight from that grief, from that heartache, from that loss. If you agree with that, shout a big amen. Amen. Pastor, the story of the man that was in Hurricane Katrina. I want every one of you to look up here. I live in Arkansas. But if I lived in Louisiana, and they come on the TV, and they say a hurricane's blowing at 180 miles an hour, and it's going to hit your land where you live, evacuate. You won't have to tell me twice. Wayne, you're bad, son, but you got enough sense to leave. I will be an evacuee. There's a man and his wife. She begged him, Brother Doug, Pastor Doug, she begged him to leave. He said, no, baby. He said, it'll be all right. Last minute, you know how a woman can do, she can put enough pressure on you, finally obey. Y'all sit up here and act like, oh, I can see y'all. Phony baloney. Mama, start putting them screws in, son. Pastor Mitch, it's time to go. I've been around Brother Mitch a long time. He's got enough sense. Mama says, go, it's going time. Hey, and so he gets in the car. He hits on the interstate. The interstates are packed to capacity. He said, baby, he said, we can't go. He turns around and heads back home. They get back in the house. They lived in the 9th Ward. Hurricane hit. Before long, the water got 1 foot deep, 2 foot deep, 3 foot deep, 4 foot deep. The husband and the wife found themselves in the attic. It was dark. Brother Donnie, she got so scared. She got so horrified. She had a heart attack and died in the attic. Everybody look up here. It was 2 days before they could come and get his wife. A few years later, Mom, another hurricane came. And they asked the man that lost his wife, are you going to leave this time? And the man looked so pitiful. And he said this, I can't leave. I'm chained here by my own guilt. I'm preaching to people tonight that you can't get free from what happened yesterday or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and it plays a game of repetition in your mind and you go back there and you're chained by your own guilt. Everybody look up here. The same God that died on a tree does not want you walking around in guilt. He wants to set you completely free. You can leave, baby. You can shout again. You can raise your hands again. You can glorify God again. He's worthy to be praised. Now, I'll be careful. Say, Brother Derek, you gonna tell us anything else? Yeah, I'll throw this at you. Must have closure for the disappointments that are behind me. If you take notes, I'm going to want to. I'm just as shocked as everybody in here. Let me do my breathing statement right here. I'm hurrying. Number two. Not only I must have closure for the disappointments that are behind me. I'm going to talk to us now. Number two, when you read Jacob's life, you'll learn this. I must have courage for the days that are before me. Oh my God. I heard this singing group. Spot on. Exactly right. We're in an absolute teetotal mess. The White House is in a mess. The racial tension, it's everywhere. Shout amen. Whites, blacks, whatever color you are, it's here, it's real. And the tension is real, and you can cut it with a knife. But I want to tell you something that we need to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to reach this generation, bud, if we're going to reach into this town and we're going to reach into this community, we can't put our heads in the sand and act like we're weak and act like we're anemic. We got to hold our heads up and say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. I've been saved. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. He lives in me. He pulsates in my soul. And I'm going to have courage for the days that are before me. It's good preaching, Brother Derek. I thought it was. Hey, you say you ought not say that's good preaching. Well, son, if I thought it was Derek, I know it isn't good. But that's got to be God right there. Because Scott, I know you're a police officer. I'm gonna tell you, and you said it Sunday, and I believe you. When it gets hot, people sometimes act crazy. Look up here. I done found out it ain't gotta be hot for people to act crazy. They're absolutely crazy. Drive down the road and hey, you're going 85 and a man passes you in the slow lane and goes 90 and just inches right in front of you. You're thinking to yourself, crazy. I look down, I'm going 85 and I'm thinking, I'm crazy too. So I slow her back down. Hey, but I'm telling you, you listen to me and you hear my heart, Pastor Mitch, if we're going to reach people, if we're going to do anything in Buford and in Lancaster and in around this area, we got to have courage for the days that are before us. Would you agree with me? We are a mighty army. We are a king's kid. We can reach this generation. Now hold up. I can't leave this alone. Go in your Bible to verse 20 and 21. And I'm probably going to shout. I'm going to go ahead and tell you so you won't be nervous. I'm just going to shout. Matter of fact, I'm going to shout before I get there. Woo! Preparing you to shout. You hadn't shouted so long, you wouldn't know what a shout is. Woo! Sometimes you just got to shout on credit, baby. Hey, you listen to me. I've been around this bunch long enough to know you love to shout. Some of you like to shout. Some of you love to shout. Some of you hadn't shouted since you've been here all week. I get it. Everybody don't act like me and Mitch. I get it. Everybody don't act like me and Doug. Everybody don't act like this singing group. But I want to tell you something. Every now and again, you ought to grin. Every now and again, you ought to do this. Or you ain't got to get bold, baby. Just do this. You'll feel better about it. I'm telling you right now. Nobody even got to know you're raising your hand, but you can just do this. When you get real bold, go. But I'm going to tell you for long, Stacy, my God, it won't be this. You'll do like this. And you'll say, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. Hey, would anybody agree? We ought to lift our hands and glorify God in the sanctuary. He's worthy. Now, I just get carried away. I ain't even read it to you. Go to verse 20. Hey, don't shut your Bible. Look with me in verse 20. Jacob, everybody say Jacob. The Bible said, John, that Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Now, I shouldn't just do this, but I'm going to. In verse 20, it says Jacob. And Jacob. Just humor me. Everybody say, and Jacob. Now go to verse 21. And Israel. Everybody, humor me one more time. Say, and Israel. Oh, God, that sounded good. Scott, do you realize the same guy in verse 20 is the same guy in verse 21? Verse 20 said, and Jacob. And Jacob, in verse 21 said, and Israel, and Israel. Well, that book's confusing to me. Well, let me try to make it unconfusing. And Jacob, and Israel. I said, God, how could I preach that? Hey, Brother Doug, as Jacob, he erected a pillar. As Israel, he journeyed beyond. Oh, God. Bonnie, I'm about to tag you in to be my running partner. Donnie said he's just going to walk fast. Just look good doing it, son. Hey, listen, I promise I'm getting somewhere here. And a God, as Jacob said, I've got pain. But as Israel, he said, I've got a promise. Hey, watch this right here. As Jacob, he wept. As Israel, he journeyed. Let me give you the classic line. As Jacob, he mourned. As Israel, he moved on. Can I go ahead and tell you, Scott Case, some of us too long have mourned and cried and wept and felt sorry for ourselves. Mourning is over. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. It's time to pull up your tent stakes, baby, and go on for God. I don't know how y'all can stay calm, but you're doing real good. If I was sitting where you're sitting, I promise you I'd do this. Somebody needs to move on. My God, I'm preaching to somebody right now. And you've wept, you've cried, you felt sorry for yourself, you've rolled around in the mud, you said, my God, nobody knows. Nobody knows my baby died. Nobody knows my sweetheart died. Nobody knows how I feel, but old Jacob, he said, bless God, I'm going to have courage. Amen. I'm going to have closure for what's behind me. I'm going to have courage for the days that are before me. Would anybody agree? Hey, Carl, take courage tonight and whoop, move on for Jesus Christ. Well, let me throw this out. Gettysburg. 10,000 soldiers died in Gettysburg. 5,000 horses died in Gettysburg. One little girl died of a stray bullet. So if I read right, 10,000. 5,000 horses. Not very long after those 10,000 soldiers died and those 5,000 horses died. If you take notes and you like statistics, write this down. 40,000 more people died near Gettysburg. Here's why. They didn't bury the dead fast enough. Everybody look up here. Preaching material. They didn't bury the dead fast enough. Brother Chris, Brother Wayne, the air became contaminated. The water was poisoned. Fever broke out. People began to die. Everybody, every dad look up here. Every mom look up here. Every deacon look up here. Every man look up here. Every woman look up here. Do you understand? Do you understand? The worst thing you can do in your life is to leave dead things out in the open. Dead things will fester up. When someone, Brother Roger, ask you to forgive them. Forgive them. Let me preach a little more. I hear this a lot. I hear this a lot. Well, you know, Brother Derek, I would have forgave them if they'd have just asked me. Let me get real with you. I don't care if he never asked you to forgive him. You forgive him. But you don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. You don't know how they hurt my home. You don't know how they wounded me. God brought a bald-headed preacher by to tell you we need to have a funeral tonight and bury the dead and let it go and shut the gate and walk on and go on and carry on. You need to go on and bury the dead. If you agree with that, shout amen. Hold up. I said, God, I'd like to preach. This little lady they discovered in Gettysburg, Brother Scott, they concluded we can't bury the dead fast enough. So the only thing we can do is give people that'll bury the dead. We'll give them $3 for every body they bury. $3. One lady, Donnie, was 6 months with child. She buried by herself 120 bodies. Everybody look up here. I don't believe that. Well, look it up. Look it up. She buried Scotty, 120 dead bodies. Here's why. She said, I don't want to bring my offspring into this mess. And if I got to take matters into my own hands, I'm going to bury the dead so my baby can live and my children can live. Baby, if you don't forgive and you don't get it under, your family's going to die. Your ministry's going to die. Your church is going to die. You got to bury the dead. God, I don't know how y'all can sit so calm. Frank William Borum, here's how I knew he was hateful. Frank William Borum, none of the children liked him. He came down to his dying day, Chris. He said, I've been a mean, hard man. He said, I shouldn't have been, but I've been mean, hard, and cruel. He said, my best friend when I was young hurt me and wounded me. He said, this Pastor Mitch, he said, I never forgave him. And I never let it go. Timmy said he moved on, had a good family, pretty home, pretty family. But he said this, I never forgave him. It never bothered him, but it ruined me. He said, I never forgave him. And Brother Roger, he said this. Brother Dougie said this. It caused bitterness in my heart. He said, to my dying day, he said, it's been gall on my tongue. And gravel in my teeth. It's robbed me of my happiness. It's robbed me of my joy. It's ruined my life. It's defined who I am. And ladies and gentlemen, I've been in the church long enough to know we harbor things. And we hold on to things. And we don't let it go. And we don't shut the gate. And we don't bury the dead. But God brought me by to tell you, it's going to ruin your testimony. It's going to ruin your hope. It's going to rob you of your peace. It's going to rob you of your joy. You got to bury it tonight and get it under the blood. Now hold up. I don't know if you forgot what I'm preaching. I gotta have closure for the disappointments that behind me. I gotta have courage for the days that are before me. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. Now let me throw this one out. I'm getting to where I want to go. Pastor Mitch, I don't know if you remember, but there's a baby in this story. She calls him Benoniah. Jacob calls him Benjamin. And everybody, so I could look you in the eye. Let me tell you this. The baby cannot be overlooked. Jacob, even though his baby, sweetheart baby died, his sweetheart of his, the girl of his dreams that he worked all those years for. Son, you've got to be really dedicated. Somebody throw an amen on me. Amen. He worked all those years and the trickster got tricked. First girl he married was Rachel. He woke up, didn't even know it was her. Son, you've got to be in a state of confusion. Somebody throw an amen right there. Then he worked 7 more years to get his sweetheart Rachel, and now she dies, and the lady that he loves is gone. And listen, hear my heart. Jacob could have felt sorry for himself. Brother Doug, he could have threw in the towel, but he held on to that baby and he nurtured the baby and he fed the baby. Hey, would anybody agree? We are living in a generation. We got to keep feeding the baby. We got to keep nurturing the baby. We got to keep working with our youth and working with young people that have just got saved. Keep feeding the baby. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Now let me give you this. I promise you, this is my last point. Don't mean much, but it's my last point. Lastly, jot this down. Here's my closer. I must be committed to the dream that is beyond me. Timmy, I said I must be committed to the dream that is beyond us. Jacob buried, Israel journeyed, Israel dreamed on, prayed on, kept going on. She called him Benoni, he called him Benjamin. Everybody, let me just throw this out for free. I believe this is real good right here. Brother Doug, could it have been? Pastor Mitch, could it have been? The reason that Jacob said, no, his name will not be called Benoni, was because Jacob knew what it was to have a wrong name. My name means heel catcher, deceiver, supplanter. I've lived up to that. I don't want my boy to be called Benoni, son of Masara. I'm going to call that boy Benjamin. Woo! Son of my right hand. Now, I'm doing my best to get to the punchline. Brother Derek, what's so important about ministering and carrying on and holding the baby? Brother Mitch, there's a man in the New Testament that wrote 14 books in the New Testament. He was Saul of Tarsus that God changed his name to Paul. The Apostle Paul. Do you know what tribe he came out of? That tribe of Benjamin. Tribe of Benjamin. Why is it important? Hold the baby. Carry the baby. You don't know who's coming out in the trail. The Apostle Paul came out of the tribe of Benjamin. Hold the baby. Nurture the baby. Well, Brother Derek, why do you think it's important? God transformed heartache into hope. I've been preaching since I was 13. I know I don't look very old. Just because I don't have any hair doesn't mean I'm old. Donnie, what I'm about to tell you, I'm not proud of. It humbles me. And I've always made fun of those guys. And don't get offended at me. I'm just me. I can't be you, I'm me. Always tickles me about them guys. Well, I got a sermon in the deer stand. Look up here. I don't hunt, but I ain't never got a sermon in the deer stand. And if you do, help yourself. But I've never got one. Hey, Chris, I play golf on occasion. I've never built a good sermon on the golf course. Now, I don't throw my clubs because I'm saved. But if looks could kill, you would die. So I'm going to go against everything I've ever said. I'm up at West Fork High School leaning up against the field house or the PA. What is that deal? Where they announce the game from? Press box. Thank you. I knew someone was heathen in here. You ain't heathen. I'm not. That's a joke. That's a joke. I had my back against the press box. It's mist and rain. I've got thermals on. It's cold. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't have no interest in that blooming game. And I didn't have a dog in the fight. But I'm sitting there. And the Holy Ghost started talking to me. And I'm thinking, God, now don't talk to me in here. I'm here watching the game. And I make fun of all them folks that say, you talk to them in the deer woods. And I'm at a blooming football game. You're going to talk to me now? He said, yeah, you've been too busy. He said, you're gone all the time. You travel all over America. You run, 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 go, go, go. He said, listen, son, I want to talk to you. I bowed my head and I started listening. He said to me at that press box, missed it on my head. He said to me, Donnie, he said, you're not dreaming anymore. Preacher Doug, here's what I told God. I said, God, I preach every night. God said, yeah, I know, I see you. I said, you mean I'm not dreaming? No, you've quit dreaming. You just go and you preach. Now, son, I'm not saying you don't pray. I know you pray, and I know you read your Bible, and I know you study. I commend you for that. But he said, Derek Daniel, listen, you're not dreaming anymore. Can I go ahead and tell y'all, singing group, I'd have rather heard anything on the planet than God to tell me that I wasn't dreaming. Can I go ahead and look you in the eye and tell you, if an evangelist can preach every night of his life and sweat, spit, kick, and holler and not dream, then can I tell you it is possible for you to come to freedom and quit dreaming? You can pastor a church and quit dreaming. You can teach a Sunday school class and study every week and read it and do your best and quit dreaming. Y'all ain't hear me. Y'all sitting up there like you're... Hey, you can play the piano and play it real good. Hey, singing group, sing every night of your life and quit dreaming. And God dealt with me and He said, Derek, I release you to dream again. I ask you, son, to dream big dreams. Think big thoughts. Believe me for the impossible. Dare to trust me when everybody else said it can't be done. Square your shoulders back and say, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to walk with God and I'm going to dream again. I must be committed to the dream that is beyond me. You know what I've noticed in church, folks? The easiest thing to do. Scott Case, a few years ago, you talked to me. I don't even remember what you said, but you said something that you just didn't have the ump. You just said that something like that, you're struggling. Isn't there? Boy, Derek, are you picking on Scott? No, Scott was the only one honest enough to tell me he was struggling. You sit up here and play the part and act like you got it going on. I don't care how good you look. I don't care if you shout and your head bobs. I don't care. Are you dreaming? Are you dreaming of people walking in this church that are bound by alcohol and meth and crack cocaine? You hear me? And they wrapped on prescription drugs. You hear me? And they messed up and the world is falling apart. But you're dreaming. They're going to walk the aisle and they're going to give their heart to God and they're going to reach their family. And this church is going to have to knock down the walls and add on. Donnie, dream again. Dream again. My Lord, I don't see a closing spot, but I got about 15 more minutes and we'll get out of here. Let me ask you one question real quick. How many give me 5 minutes? Let me see your hand. 5 minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Woo!
I never felt so good about it in all my life. Everybody look up here. I done been to Lancaster. Ain't nothing going on over there, baby. Hang out in here. Brother Carl, I'm not a marathon runner. I do walk and run. I love to walk. I love to run. I shouldn't brag, but I went from 208. Now, Dad had been on vacation before I got here, but when I left home, I went from 208 to 183. I can button my coat. I used to say, Stacy, thin is in, but fat's where it's at. I've changed my motto. When you get so big, it's hard to preach. When you get up and you've been 5 minutes in and you're... Here's your sign. Leave that cheese dip alone. I don't know how I got on that. Hey, if y'all have seen me eat this week, y'all know I haven't been really worried about it. Say amen, Wayne. Hey, but I'll say this. Hey, one of the great runners came over and ran the Boston Marathon. I did not know this. I'm closing with this. The Boston Marathon is one of the hardest marathons there is. Here's why, preacher. At the end of the race, there are four long hills. One of the greatest runners of our day came over years and years ago. And Brother Jason, he ran the marathon, the Boston Marathon, in it. And he done real good, and he got over the first hill, second hill, third hill, and he's coming up on that last hill. And he fell out, and he quit running. Here's his words. He said, that hill, I wasn't expecting that hill. I wasn't expecting that. He said, that hill broke my heart. And to this day, they call it Heartbreak Hill. They got wise, Brother Timmy. They moved the spectators from the front of the race to the end of the race. And they ag them on and they cheer them on and they say, keep going, don't quit, keep running. Brother Doug, you'll love this preacher. This is sermon material right here. And when you get over the last hill, they got a big banner that reads, Heartbreak is over. You're almost home. Hey, why did you high five them? Here's why. Baby, I don't know if you're looking. Heartbreak is over. Mama, we're almost home. Heartbreak is over. We're almost home. Here it is. Dream again. Man of God, I want to see God transform my heartache into hope. How's it going to work? Three principles. I got to have closure over the disappointments that are behind me. I got to have courage for the days that are before me. I must be committed to the dream that is beyond me. Any good dream is beyond your reach. Any good dream, you know, Stevie, you can't do it. Carl, you know you can't do it. But God can. Stand all over the room. I want you to help me tonight. I want this dear brother, if he would,
Man, you done a remark. All you guys did great. Play softly for me, brother, before y'all sing. I'm going to instruct an altar call, and then I'll have y'all to sing if you don't mind, if that's okay.